So we got this comment from Australia who is writing on the takeaway.org. Operation Payback, referring to what the group Anonymous was calling its attack on MasterCard.com yesterday. Operation Payback was in full flight before the whole WikiLeaks saga and has to do with the DDoS, which happened against the Pirate Bay, which is a denial of service acronym. This, however, is a sub-operation of Operation Payback called Operation Avenge Assange, which is one indication that there are a lot of people out there in front of their computers that know a lot more about what's going on in the headlines as WikiLeaks battles foreign governments and folks on behalf of WikiLeaks try to take down the partners who are backing away from WikiLeaks. It's a story that's involved business, governments, and hackers. And to help us understand exactly what's going on here, Mattathias Schwartz joins us. He contributes to Wired, Harper's, and the New York Times Magazine, where he wrote an article about this group Anonymous and their so-called trolling methods. He's right here in the studio. Matt, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, John.
I mean, this is really fascinating and unprecedented. Even though it's hard to follow, it's a pretty interesting story, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it is fascinating. It is unprecedented. It's not that scary. It's not so much a cyber war as the cyber equivalent of toilet paper in your neighbor's house. And then it gets cleaned up by the next morning.
So it's at a kind of a prank stage at this point. James Lewis also joins us, a senior fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. I gather, Jim, that you might not characterize this in quite the same terms as toilet papering on Halloween.
No, actually, I would. I think Matt's got it exactly right. I would call it Operation Small Change. I mean, a lot of noise. It's like those anarchists at World Bank meetings. You know, they have black hats on and they walk around and smash a few shop windows. Big deal.
All right. Well, let's deconstruct for people exactly what's going on. First of all, let's just start right at the beginning. Matt, WikiLeaks. What is a wiki? It's some sort of open source, everyone can participate kind of thing. I know Wikipedia. What is a wiki?
I know it comes from a Hawaiian word, but it's a website that anyone can edit that's open. At least that's in the case of Wikipedia. In the case of WikiLeaks, they say they emulate Wikipedia and want to create a system, an untraceable system, through which anyone can leak any document and spread it around the world.
An untraceable system for anybody to basically disclose something that maybe someone else wouldn't want disclosed.
Kind exactly.
of an Uber bulletin board with no sort of fingerprints.
Yes.
All right. So now, denial of service, James Lewis, what does that mean exactly?
It's not a very sophisticated kind of attack, and we have seen it before. This is what the Russians did to Estonia when they were displeased with them moving that statue. So it's just launching a flood of messages at someone's internet server and causing it to overload and not be able to function. It's about the most basic kind of attack you could do.
And this is a crime, right?
Sure, it's a crime if they can catch you. In this case, it might be, I don't know, if I was one of these people and I lived in the United States, I would probably be a little worried. But if you live outside the U.S., maybe you can get away with it.
And, it's actually not a crime to toilet paper somebody's, front yard trees, Matt. I mean, in a sense, the analogy breaks down a little bit here because courts have ruled that denial of service is a little bit more like, maybe blowing up the entrance to a parking lot of a factory or something, or blocking an entrance or padlocking doors. It's a little closer to vandalism than Halloween pranks, wouldn't you say?
Maybe spray painting someone's house than watching it get painted over. The toilet paper analogy is more in terms of the effects, which are not that great. If you look at the stock prices of these companies, Amazon, MasterCard, Visa, PayPal, the companies that were the targets of these attacks, they all had little dips yesterday, but really no significant moves. Three out of the four are up, and all their websites are back up.
All right, James, help me out with this other thing that we learned about yesterday, and that is that WikiLeaks has been shut down, and I'm just figuring that the agents that would be interested in shutting WikiLeaks down might actually include the NSA or the CIA. I have no evidence for that, but I can only imagine the groups that would shut down WikiLeaks. But nevertheless, coming to WikiLeaks' aid are these mirror sites, which allow WikiLeaks data to exist in many places at once, even though their servers are down. What's that all about?
Well, you have to remember that the U.S. government has thousands of lawyers, and each and every one of them is going to need to opine on what we can do back to WikiLeaks before we actually take any action. So I don't think the government has done anything. And one thing that's interesting is, it's likely that the U.S. government itself is a target of these anonymous hackers, and they failed to do anything. Let's not overestimate them. But the flip side of that is this is politics, and it's a new kind of politics because WikiLeaks has been pretty smart. They've distributed a lot of their data. It's all over. This is the Internet, and so it's not something that you're going to be able to snuff out easily or quickly.
How does the mirror site, Matt Schwartz, work?
It's just a site that copies everything that would be up on the WikiLeaks site, and then the mirror sites copy each other. And I think there are more than 100 of them out there now, so it makes it virtually impossible to take the WikiLeaks data down.
There's one element of anonymous that concerns me, and you've actually spent time with folks who work in groups like this. They actually share software that allows them to amplify their impact in a denial of service attack. So they all have this little piece of software that they can initiate together, which seems to increase their strength in numbers. What's that all about?
Yeah, that's true. They do have some very sophisticated tools. They do meet in these often encrypted internet relay chat rooms, which are fairly difficult to access to organize these attacks. So they do have some sophisticated methods. But the really good hackers are usually doing things on their own and trying to make a name for themselves solo, those who are able to do that. And for the most part, those who can't but still want to be involved in the news somehow go into these chat rooms and figure out less effective, impactful means.
Wacko individuals as opposed to some kind of North Korean army?
Yes, exactly.
All right. James Lewis, before we go, where does this escalate, if at all?
I think it's going to escalate into rethinking how we do politics on the Internet. And a lot of people have talked about it as a democratizing force. And by democratizing, you mean more people can play. That's true. But it's not democratizing in the Western sense we all think. So people are going to have to step back and say, okay, now we're seeing the face of anarchy. Do we like it? And what do we do about it?
Meanwhile, some IT guys over at MasterCard's site are at work again. The site is down again. We can't say for sure it's the hackers, but it is down. That's an update there. James Lewis, Senior Fellow at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, thanks so much.
Thanks.
And Matt Schwartz contributes to Wired, Harper's, and the New York Times Magazine, where he wrote an article about Anonymous and their trolling methods. Matt, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.